Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Jumbo, or Missouri, or maybe you'd better recognize, howdy y'all. Two other expressions from regions of Africa are good morning, hello, how are you, howdy y'all. We know that's our language. Another greeting out of East Africa is called hodi, 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 that you enter into the home, whether it be a hut or a house, and you had knocked on the door, but you didn't wait for someone to open the door. You just go ahead and walk into the entryway, but you shout out, hodi, 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 like, I'm here, and they know that you're there. And you don't go beyond the entryway, but everybody knows kind of what's going on. You've arrived. If you do that in Texas, you get shot if you do it. But it's part of the custom and the culture we're there. In our lives, we want to know that we are welcomed, that we are welcomed with each other, that we are welcomed with God. And that if we're welcomed with God, that we know that we have a home here on earth and a home forever in heaven. That unique and special relationship is called being a disciple, this relationship of being a follower of Christ. And in the experience of following Christ, we are shaped by Christ. Too often, at least as Americans, we want the benefits without paying the price. We want the, here's what I get out of it instead of what I put into it. And the experience of being a follower of Christ is the joy of what we put into it so God can put his character into our life. That's why we've entered into this message series on being disciples of Christ as we head towards Easter. Easter is April the 12th, and the experience of the celebration of the resurrection of Christ, having seen the death of Christ, shaping us as a people is part of the power which he provides for us. And so to get into the disciples' message, we can go to this Matthew 5 through 7, called the Sermon on the Mount and the Gospel of Matthew that was read for us beautifully early in today's worship. What is frequently the thrown away understanding as a lead-in to the Sermon on the Mount is really the key to understanding the Sermon on the Mount. And the key is that Jesus saw the crowd, and we find at the end of Matthew 4 that he saw the crowd coming from east of the Jordan River, from the Greek cities, from the southern Israel, from the Negev Desert, from Jerusalem, Judea, and then all regions of the north. They'd heard that this Messiah who had been born in Bethlehem 30 years earlier had begun a Messiah ministry, and they were curious, and they were following him. And the next thing we know that Jesus has found the high ground. It's always good to take the high ground. And in seeing the high ground, you can see everything else more clearly. And he saw these men and women and these boys and girls. And then in the tradition of a good rabbi, he sat down and they sat down with him. And he taught them, saying, his voice could carry because he was on the high ground. But it says that, and his disciples sat with him. So in the crowd that day were people who were identifying to say, we've decided to follow Jesus. He said, hodi, hodi, hodi to our hearts, and we said, come on in. But understanding what that meant for him to come on in is what Jesus wanted to get through in his message, and the same is true for you and me. We've also just celebrated Valentine's Day, in which we might say, will you be my Valentine? And if you've had the experience like I've had in my life, the answer was, no, I don't want to be your Valentine. And it kind of stings, but, you know, there's honest communication. There's the romantic Valentine, and there's also the Valentine of friendship. And what the Lord provides for us is a way to be Valentines with each other. Having just returned, I think I've returned from Africa. I see my feet in cowboy boots. I touch my head. I think I'm here. If any part of me is missing, you just kind of call it out for me. And if I need help in the sermon, say, help them, Lord, help them. We arrived back at 6 o'clock last night after 40 hours of being hurled through the air to get there and to get back, and mission accomplished with disciples of the Lord from 15 different African nations, 200 leaders gathered around this common mission of being transformed by Jesus Christ in order to transform our world. And the theme for our gathering in Ndola, Zambia was go make disciples, meaning don't just be a disciple, but be a disciple maker. We know that coming out of the Great Commission story, and it's our theme. And then as we've celebrated that this is the weekend with our youth having Disciple Now weekend, they've been focusing in on this discipleship theme. And so we're aligned with each other around this call. Now, if this is strange sounding message to you, we just want you to be in the message that this Nzuri or Jumbo or Hodi Hodi or Hada Y'all or Be My Valentine are all invitations for us to be on a journey together. But Jesus wanted to be clear to say, I want you to know where this journey is going to take you. It's going to take you to live your best life on earth and your forever life in heaven. It's going to take you to the place of discovering why you were born to live on earth so that you may also help others to know why they were born in order to get there. But in order for that to happen, you're going to have to be transformed. Oh, wait, I got to put skin in the game? Yep, got to put skin in the game. There's no way to arrive into Ndola, Zambia without getting on the plane or get back to San Antonio without returning on the plane. You've got to be present. You got to get connected. And we're in this sanctuary. We're in the worship space of Trinity Baptist Church that is wonderfully partnered with the nations of Africa in order to help transform lives of people in the villages, in the tribal languages, and in the cities. And 40% of the people who live in Zambia, for instance, live in the city, 60% out in the country. And there are more than 5,000 Baptist churches plus many other Christian churches there in order to accomplish this similar mission, but in different ways. It's the language of God to be made by Him. And so as they sat down, Jesus opened His mouth and taught them, saying, inviting all of them to be disciples. And he begins with a good word, and he ends with a good word, but there's a condition between these two good words. As you know, the eight Beatitudes all begin with the word blessed, or can be pronounced blessed. We're going to say blessed. Blessed are, meaning there's the touch of God on your life. The wonder of God's love is with you. The power of God is upon you. His authority is over you. That kind of blessing, which is what we hunger for within our lives. The blessing of God for who we are, being transformed by Him. Blessed are. And the outcome, well, they're fabulous outcomes, and it's where we all kind of want to end up being. But the in-between is how He's going to transform us. So as we step in a little more into the message, we know that we have a blessing and we have a destination. And this is what is a characteristic for all the disciples. So blessed are, for theirs is. And in this, we see this stirring of hope within our life. So in sitting in with the executive council there in Ndola with the All African Baptist Fellowship, or speaking in the services, you can see the picture here of when I'm speaking, and in the background is our banner that is just saying, go make disciples. And so again, among 200 disciple makers of leaders, we're centered around what we all have in common and how it is that Trinity Baptist Church has helped to strengthen that message in various ways, and support we've given, or African leaders who've come to be here with us, like the General Secretary Duro has been with us twice for a sabbatical and kind of catching his breath. And in the midst of this connection, we realize that we live half a world apart from each other, but we have the same Savior that bridges us together, and that this is the hope that any of us have to offer into the world. And so when Jesus speaks this word blessed, it's an equal blessing in North America and in Africa and San Antonio and Ndola. For all of us, it's an equal blessing. Nobody has one up more. That's what makes God God, but of course, that's what got Jesus killed on the cross. is that he said everybody's equal before God, and there are a lot of people saying, no. Yeah, you can say that, but we really know, don't we, that I'm a little more special than the other people are? And no, that's the power of the church, is that we lay it out equally in our relationships with each other. And so we get the blessed are, and then there's the condition of what God does to shape our character. And then the outcome is absolutely wonderful, like you see in this collage of what comes with this. Well, so blessed are the pure, are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven. That's reigning in God's presence, both here on earth and forever in heaven. Wow, who doesn't want that? And blessed are they that mourn, they'll be comforted, the word comforted. And so all of us like to have and need to have the hurts of our lives to be understood, and not only understood, but to be embraced and coming around with the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Wow, that sounds good. And to be able to inherit the earth, or is what the meek are enabled to do. And that's, you know, how to live in this earth. Good, that sounds good. I like inheritance. I want to be right into the will, so I get to have the earth. And then we're going to get filled with satisfaction if we hunger and thirst with righteousness, and God will satisfy and take care of us, and we're glad for that, and we're glad to know that we get to have mercy, we obtain mercy, but if we give mercy, well, that's a great outcome. Who doesn't want that? And we want to be able to see God. Sometimes God can seem so far away, but the image about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's wonderful. And then makers of peace. We get to be peacemakers, and we'll be called the children of God. Well, that's marvelous. And then that comes back home to the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are the who, as peacemakers, then become the persecuted. Well, for then you get the kingdom of heaven too. Well, where we were gathering in Ndola, Zambia, right next to the border of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, was the location where a great Christian leader, who was the second General Secretary of the United Nations, died. He was there on a mission. He had been serving as a General Secretary for 8 years, and then the second one ever in this new movement of trying to create a language of understanding by the people of this earth. And there was conflict as the countries were gaining their independence, and so he was flying in to lead a peace conference. And his plane, is how I read the history, his plane was shot down, and it was right on the border of Zambia and the Congo. And so there is a memorial marker in a historical area that you're able to go in, which I stepped into. And a fellow by the name of Jacob has guided that sacred ground of a memorial for Dag Hammarskjöld for 20 years. And he knows this story. And when you're there, you're kind of walking the grounds, and you saw what was at stake, and you could hear the words of this Dag Hammarskjöld saying, don't seek death. Death will find you. But what you want to seek is a path to live so that when death comes, you have lived the right life. But when Hammarskjöld died, and you could be on the location where his body was found, before this trip, he had given his devotional book, he'd given his diary to a friend, and said, when I die, I want you to publish this, and he did. And then the rest of the world could see what made Dag Hammarskjöld who he was. I mean, his father was the prime minister of Sweden. People knew that. They knew he was talented, smart. But what they didn't know is what had shaped him was a profound trust in Jesus Christ. What had shaped him is that he indeed was a disciple of Christ, and he was carrying this hope of Christ within his work. And his diary was called Markings. The mark of God had been upon him, and so his marking was the description, and it was read, and then it made sense of everything else in Dag Hammarskjöld's life, that his faith is what made sense of everything underlying his courage. Well, may it be said of you and may it be said of me that what makes sense of who we are and our whole life, the markings of our life, is because of a living faith in Jesus Christ that has a joy beyond the circumstances, that has a courage in the light of death, that we're able to do our lives in service of others because we have been touched by the wonder of the Christ. Well, that's what disciples do, wherever we are. And so we step back into what Jesus was saying in these Beatitudes. He again says, like, blessed are the poor in spirit. That means we poor in spirit means we know that we're not God, and that we are we're aligned to each other. We're bonded to each other, that there's a part of me in my heart that's linked to you and yours with me. And I was absolutely delighted to know that in Africa, Valentine's Day is celebrated also. It's not just an American thing. And it was kind of a universal language. I checked it out before I brought the closing message on Friday. And I said, will you be my Valentine? And I want you to know that I take my heart, your heart with me, and I leave my heart with you. We'll be connected with each other. And the reason why this Valentine thing is connected is it's true to a person of history by the name of St. Valentinus, who was a person of great love during time of persecution on behalf of Christians with the Roman Empire. But it's because we all want to know that we are lovable, that we can be loved. You want it, I want it, we all want it. That's why God, who is love, loved us, so that as we love him on Rodeo Sunday and we love him the other days of the year, it's a love relationship. And disciple is a love relationship with the Lord. And so to be a Valentine was to extend the gift of a friendship love that we need with each other. And it's hard days in our world with a coronavirus and regional wars and neighbors speaking uncivilly with each other. There's some hard days in our world. And the people who make the difference, who step over the difficulties and through them as a disciple of Christ, are people who see what God can bring to each and every person. And being poor in spirit means I know that we're in this together. And we all have a common need in God. And if you've lived long enough, you don't have to be convinced of that. Life has taught you that, right? If not, it's going to bring you to your knees and it'll break you. But when you've been broken, you see Jesus ever so clearly. You know, the cross is what the symbol known around the world for Jesus. But when Jesus was in his ministry doing his thing, the cross was a sign of failure. It was a sign of being poor in this world. It was a sign of a loser. But what did Jesus do with the cross? But he died on the cross in such a way that all of us can know the gift of salvation through his grace and love. And then he rises from the grave and did in actual history. And so the cross then is seen now as a sign of the victory of God. But in the day that Jesus was walking on this earth, they saw the cross and thought, what a loser to talk about the cross. To be poor in spirit in many circles of our culture will speak about being a loser, but when you do it and you form a relationship of humility with the lives of others, when the other people have been humbled by a diagnosis of the doctor or a turn of zeros in a bank account or the loss of a job instead of a promotion, all of a sudden they're paying attention because you're connected there together and you can say, the grace of Jesus greets us here together. And then the sense of mourning is the sense of saying, being now that we're connected with each other, I can feel what you're feeling. We can identify with each other, not as somebody better than, but someone who is on an equal level, that the comfort and the counsel of the Holy Spirit can bring mourning through you into the life of another person. You know, it was that Maya Angelou again who said, she was a beautiful Christian, a black African poet in America, who said, long after people have forgotten what you said or even what you did, they will remember how you made them feel. And that famous phrase connected to then the word of a believing poet is talking about this mourning. We get it by how we connect with each other. And then the sense of being disciplined by the Spirit of God is the meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. The meekness is the sense of the discipline of God shaping us as disciples. We can only inherit the earth and not get destroyed by the earth is when we understand what the earth can and cannot do. It can't give us salvation. It can't give us sustainable joy. But what we can do is know how to live in the world as it is and bring God's joy into the world. And so Jesus would say, disciples, be as innocent as a dove, but wise as a serpent. Know how the world works. On the closing day there in Zambia at our conference, the president of the country was coming in, and he was supposed to be there Wednesday. I had to leave on Friday morning, didn't get to see him, but he was coming in, but we were clear as disciples that we have something to give him as the president of the country representing Africa, and that it is not simply because he comes and his importance that makes what we do important, but that we have something in Jesus Christ to be able to give to him so that as he governs in this earth. That's a different kind of relationship. And so then we hunger for what's most important. It may be that you're already hungering for some good old cowboy, cowgirl barbecue here. Or you want some good enchiladas, and that's a good kind of hunger. But the hunger that lasts forever in a satisfied way with the Lord is that we'd hunger and thirst after righteousness, the character of God, the very character of God who sustains us wherever we are. And you've been in situations where life had been turned upside down, and who was able to turn it right side back up but the grace of God who always keeps his equilibrium. His ETA is always on time. The sense of his presence, if we're willing to let him do that work within our life. But if we're only hungry and thirsting for enchiladas, guess what, man? Another meal is going to be needed. You know, if we drink, the water, guess what? We're going to get thirsty again. We have a need to be fed for our bodies. That's a sign of our dependence. But the sense of the hunger and thirsting for God is he's always satisfying us by his presence. And when you know the taste of the Lord shaping you like salt, and the taste of the Lord turning you into light, then you know that's the goodness of this life. And so this character of God gives us mercy, and so we can be merciful. You know, the sense of the language of forgiveness is the language of a Valentine, being able to give mercy to people who are in need of mercy because we have been there ourselves. And there's no sustainable Valentine relationship without mercy. Because no one loves perfectly except God's love. And so a Valentine is knowing how to give mercy in the relationship. And then we receive it as a gift back into our own life. And when we've done this hard work like salt within us, and we have a purity in our heart that gets formed and shaped. Isn't there a part of you that wants to be a better version of yourself than you are right now? Isn't there a hunger inside of people in our world to be a better version than who we are as a world? This is purity in heart. God wanting us to yearn, and as we yearn for him to shape our desires, to be formed and fashioned by him, then he will enable us to see more and more of who he is. One of my good friends, a really most intelligent man, had a blastocytoma, this kind of a tumor on the brain, and right after surgery, they allowed me to go back in his recovery room. And the first thing he said to me was, "Pastor, I want you to know I saw the hindsight of God. I didn't get to see the face of God, but I saw the hindsight of God. And it was glorious. This is a man of a brilliant intelligence, accomplished a lot in the world. But what God graced him with was the ability to see his presence. Because that's what we hunger for. It's what lasts. And we do so on God's terms within our life. And the disciple makers then become peacemakers. We become peacemakers because the call of God wants relationships to be able to get along with each other. We can't do for somebody else what they have to do for themselves, but a peacemaker can show a path of peace. Peacemakers can say, "Shalom, y'all. You know, shalom, there's a better way here of peace that we can move with each other." And this kind of peacemaking, as the world's wanting to know, is real and it's true. And it brings us into a righteousness that can bring persecution. And there are more martyrs today than any other time in world history, not just because of more people, but there are the thousands of Christians losing their lives by faith in Jesus Christ. But I trust that, you know, you've been bumped and bruised. You know, Bob Lotus lets me say this. Bob wears a patch, and he does so because he had a brain tumor, and the tumor kind of changed things of how the brain worked and continued to go on, and he can't see out of one eye. And you look at Bob, and you know, this guy right here, he's seen a lot of life, you know. And he's still looking with one eye of everything that can be seen. You know, you're not going to knock him off balance. And he and Nancy, they've made this journey together because they have seen what happens when life turns upside down and God just turns you right side up again. And every one of us have had those, and everyone around the world, and every village of Africa has had that experience. And so when Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, mean when we are made in the image of God and we become like the children of God through these beatitudes, and we are like salt. God just does his thing through us. And we know that salt, you know, makes our food taste better, but in Africa, it's what preserves food and keeps it from rotting like in the early days of America. And when you don't have a freezer, you really got to have salt to be able to preserve a lot of that food. And the salt can also be a cleanser when you don't have anything else to cleanse a situation. The salt is what the flavor of what life is all about. And Jesus said, as disciples, this is what gives you flavor and life. And then you become like light shining into the darkness. And so the covenant is shaped by salt, like in the Hebrew scriptures. The light shines for everyone, like with the Gentiles, as C-Mac mentioned last week. That's what's going on here, that the Beatitudes is how we become the salt. We don't wake up one day and said, I'm just going to do it on my own. God shapes that in us, and we become our light, and we shine the light, not by turning on a flashlight, not just a night light in the evening when we go to bed, not by lighting a torch, but your good deeds in the name of Christ, him at work in you, is what that light that shines into our world. Now, one of the gifts that I gave from Trinity to the leaders in Africa is our Fiesta medal. Well, they don't know anything about the Fiestas of San Antonio, but they have a Trinity Baptist Church Fiesta medal of saying, like, this is a badge of our commitment to you to be courageous followers of Jesus Christ together. So 200 leaders in Africa will be wearing Trinity Baptist Church Fiesta medals, but it's a... And then with about 8 of the leaders, I gave our Christmas ornament, which is from our stained glass window as the sign of the Christ, just kind of bring his presence and authority as saying just that where we worship and where you are and we worship, we're in this together is a gift that we be given, the light of the world. So Jesus caught his breath in giving the Sermon on the Mount, and then he said, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify, be able to see God as a Father in heaven. Let's pray. We move into this response time, even as in the original Sermon on the Mount, there was a response time. What are we going to do with this? And Lord, I pray that we will just take it more and more into our lives, either as seekers becoming believers right now, saying, Lord Jesus, I trust you, I give you my life, or believers being shaped as disciples through you, O Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.